Well, greetings again, brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well, having a safe week. The title for this message is Many Were Offended. Many Were Offended. And what I'd like to touch on today are some examples that Jesus Christ had to go through, as well as others that have been representatives of Jesus Christ over the years, and to show a problem that has always been going on with the work of God, and that many have been offended over the years by the very words of Jesus Christ, but also through his representatives. Many of the apostles, their teachings and preachings offended many. And even in the end time, when Mr. Armstrong came along, many were offended by things that he taught or things that he said. So today, even through this website, through things that are being said and taught, and it's simply just being the plain truth being made plain, but it is offending some and beginning to offend some, and before it's all said and done, I'm sure many more are going to be offended. So the question we need to ask ourselves, you know, is a question that I'll pose to us momentarily, because Christ asked it to his disciples, see? But, you know, in the last message I gave, I mentioned something. I was bringing out another point there in Matthew chapter 10 about not fearing, about not having fear, having the proper fear of God, but not fearing what men can do to us. But it's interesting, when I began that in verse 25 of Matthew 10, Christ says, "It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his masters. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household?" So many, and the reason why that happened, and it is going to continue to happen, and still happens, why they called Jesus Christ Beelzebub, or even called him Satan or possessed in other places, is because they were offended by his message, see? Many were offended at Christ's message. Many have always been offended by God's truth. See, that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It pierces to the depths of the heart. So some receive it gladly, some are converted, and then others are offended. So let's begin by looking at John chapter 6. If you would turn there, John chapter 6. This is something we generally read before the Passover, and actually this message may even help us with preparations for the Passover about offenses, whether we've been offended or whether we've offended others. And I know that through the message that's going out to this website, it's getting more blunt and more direct, and it has offended some, and the truth will offend some. In something of that nature, I can't apologize for, if I'm speaking God's word faithfully. On the other hand, though, if I've ever done something to offend any of you specifically, then I do apologize for it. I would just have to tell you this at the outset, though, that I would never do anything to any of you to intentionally offend you. It's not of my nature, although it's not impossible, that's for sure. I know I come across rough and gruff at times, and that's part of my nature. I guess I learned that from my mother, because she was not one to mince words, so I guess that's the way I was brought up. Maybe that's why God's using me in this capacity today. I don't know, but I would never do anything to intentionally offend any of you, person to person. If, however, when it comes to reading or teaching God's word in defending God's apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, if that offends anyone, well then, that's a different story. Because I have to defend that truth, even with my life if necessary. And we all should have that attitude, really. But also, we should have the attitude of being harmless as doves as far as the way we treat each other individually. So, but anyway, John chapter 6, beginning in verse 53, says, "Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Verse 59, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, see, this is his followers now, brethren, many of his disciples, when they heard this, says, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? So today, a lot of what's being said on this website and brought forth as a warning to God's people to wake up, it's a hard saying for many. See, it's a hard saying. But all Christ was teaching here was the truth. And it was a hard saying to his own disciples. And so, other translations say it's just a difficult saying, or hard saying, who can understand it? Notice verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? So the question we need to ask ourselves today is God's warning, does God's warning to his people offend us? If it does, then we need to really find out why. See? We need to find out why. If God's message offends us, it shouldn't. It should wake us up and bring a little fear of the eternal back into us. So, that's the question that Christ asked his own disciples. In other translations, it's rendered, does this make you stumble? With the New King James, it's worded, does this offend you? So I thought it was interesting the way it's worded there. But notice Matthew chapter 11. Turn back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Beginning at verse 4, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John these things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Notice verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. See, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Well, he knew that there were going to be offenses. And so many were offended by him and by what he taught. Something caught my eye there. I was looking at the reference to this verse and turned to Romans chapter 9. I wasn't intending on doing this, but it brings out an interesting point here. Romans 9, beginning in verse 31, it says, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, see, they're pursuing that law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Verse 32, because they did not seek it by faith. See, they didn't believe. But as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. See, stumbled, in other words, they were offended. Notice verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. See, where's that? That's God's church, see? A stumbling stone and what? A rock of offense. See? And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So, see, on the other hand, if you don't believe what Christ says, you're going to be offended. You're going to be offended. So, we can ask ourselves today, you know, does God's word offend us? Or does God's teachings offend us? Does that doctrine that he gave us through his apostle, the end time apostle, does that offend you or offend me? It shouldn't. Christ says, and again in Matthew 11, verse 6, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Well, that includes his teachings that come through his apostles, see? Notice Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Says in beginning, and this happens, this is something we see happening today in God's church that has happened, and we see it happening right now, even with this message going out, but this warning for God's people to wake up, because some take it to heart and stay with it. Some take it to heart at first, and then they kind of get offended by something. And then it's like, you don't ever hear from them again. Notice verse 20 of Matthew 13 says, "But he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." So see, they receive it with joy at first. Oh, this is great. But notice verse 21, "Yet he has no root in himself." In other words, they're not grounded, not truly grounded in the faith of the truth and doctrines, "but endures only for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word," see, because of your beliefs, if you have trials and tests or persecution that come because of your beliefs or the word, "immediately he stumbles," or as other translations say, "immediately he's offended." So that's because he was not grounded to begin with, not truly grounded. So they just received the message with all joy, and a little persecution comes their way, and they crumble and fall, or are offended. "Well, I knew I shouldn't have had anything to do with that guy, because now look at somebody's calling me crazy, or somebody's calling me a whacked out religion." Well, you're not grounded, see? If you're grounded in God's word and his truth and those doctrines, you're not going to be offended. You're not going to be offended. See, that's what the point of this whole message is, that we should not be offended. Christ doesn't want us to be offended by anything. And if we have the proper fear of God and we don't fear any man, as I mentioned in the last message, we won't be offended, see? We simply won't. If we're filled with God's Holy Spirit, and filled with that joy and that love, you're going to move forward in joy, see? And Paul says that to count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations and persecutions and whatever. Count it joy. Well, do we count it joy, brethren, when a trial comes upon us? Do we count it as joy, or do we stumble, see, or are we offended by it? Notice, drop down to verse 54. It says, "When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" Verse 55, now they're going to start humanizing, see? They're going to humanize him, because that's exactly what happened to Mr. Armstrong, and it's happening today. They look at the physical man and all his weaknesses and frailties and imperfections, which we all have, every servant of God and every member of God's church. We all have imperfections. So it's human nature to do this. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Where did he get it? Verse 57, "So they were offended at him." See? They were offended at him. Then he went on to tell them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." So verse 58, "As a result," now he did not do many mighty works there, because of what? Their unbelief. See? They became offended and they didn't believe. See? I thought it was interesting in verse 57, "So they were offended at him." Before it mentions that, it shows that they were beginning to point to the human side of him, see? And Mr. Armstrong tried to tell us over and over and over again, "Don't believe me, believe your Bible." He was trying to get the emphasis off of him. He knew he had his imperfections and sins and faults. "Don't look at me, listen to what I'm saying and prove it in your own Bible to see if it's true or not." So today, that's what happens with someone who is speaking the truth or tries to speak the truth. The first thing they do is look at the human side and say, "Well, let's see how many problems we can find with him or faults." Well, I can tell you in my situation, I can probably just show you a whole book full of them. But why would you want to even know that? We all have them, see? But hopefully we have the common bond of the same spirit and mind of Jesus Christ to learn his way and to overcome our faults. And we're not going to have them all overcome, brethren, before it's all over. We're not. God's going to finish that work himself through us that he began. Notice Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to begin in verse 4. Christ is saying, I'm going to actually read this out of the Old King James, because the wording is a little more accurate in this case. But in the old King James, in Matthew 18, verse 4, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the great in the kingdom of God." So Christ is putting here the emphasis on humility, true humility. See, being teachable as a little child, receiving that teaching. Verse 5, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me." But notice verse 6, "But whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Verse 7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." Interesting, see? Christ knew that offenses were going to have to come, but woe to the man by whom it comes. So, but notice again in verse 6, "Whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me." So many places in the Bible, God's people or the saints or members of his church are called little ones or children of God. And we believe in Jesus Christ, see? Now, he was using literally a child as an example here, but spiritually this applies to all of God's people. So today, many of us, brethren, I know that probably everyone that I know right now have come through almost a tribulation spiritually over the last 21 years through different groups that we've been with and different little splinters in churches. And many of us have been run through the millstone, having our names dragged through the mud. And I know in my case I have. I've had to twice, two different churches, stand up publicly be corrected by the minister that was there for simply holding fast what Mr. Armstrong taught because they were beginning to depart from the truth. And so in my messages that I would give, whether it be a split sermon or sermonette or sermon, I would just simply get back to some of the basics on these things. And then I would be publicly raked over the coals and chastised as a result. Well, I could have gotten offended by that and bitter, but I didn't. I was more like crushed, actually, feelings hurt type thing. And even that, I've even grown from that because I don't even let those things bother me anymore. I've learned to let it just roll off. You have to when you're on the front lines and receive emails and calls from all directions and all different types of attitudes. But I know that a lot of us have come through many different circumstances, but yet in one way they're similar. Many of us have been through just spiritual harlotry almost, or been almost spiritually raped by what we've gone through the last 21 years. And that's a horrible way to have to word that, but I don't know any other way to make it plain. But what? How does it affect us? Are we offended by it? Or do we get over it and grow and overcome and learn not to let these things bother you anymore? Christ says, don't be offended. He says, woe, verse 7 there, he's saying, woe to the world because of offenses, for it must happen, see? But woe to that man whom the offense comes. So God's going to take care of those men. And again, the last thing I want to do is offend anybody as far as personally, person to person. And I'm sure it's happened in the past. And so I do extend apologies when that happens, if I'm made aware of it. But on the other hand, when it comes to preaching or teaching God's Word faithfully, and I do try to do it faithfully to the best of my ability, and I'm not perfect at that by any means, but when it comes to God's Word and holding fast to those doctrines and truth and defending it, if that offends someone, then I can't apologize for that, see? And Christ didn't. Christ didn't. Mr. Armstrong didn't. See, we have that example. But many of us have gone through a lot, and some worse than others. But we share a common bond in that because a lot of us have suffered similar things. So we can grow from it. Don't become offended. Just grow from it. Learn from it. And become stronger as a result. Notice Matthew 24. I'm back in the New King James now. Matthew chapter 24. And Christ is talking about what's going to happen as we lead up to the tribulation. And Notice verse 8, he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation or trial and to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Why? Because, see, many are offended at God's truth, and they are offended by those who defend God's truth. And notice verse 10, and then many will be offended. See, many will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Well, I certainly hope that, unfortunately, it is happening in God's people today, with God's church and God's people, but it shouldn't. And I just really hope it is something that God's people can overcome and wake up to. And verse 11 says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Well, do we see that happening today? Of course. It's getting worse. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, see, iniquity or sin, not keeping God's law, the love of many will grow cold. Well, here's part of the problem, see? Here's part of the problem. If we are filled with the love of God, we're not going to be offended by things. And we're not going to cause offenses, not intentionally. So, that's part of the root of why people are offended. They're not filled with the love of God. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end endures in what? In that love, see, that way, they will be saved. But I just thought it was interesting that in verse 10 it says, and many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. See, so that offenses or being offended can cause a root of bitterness in us if we're not careful. And then that can lead to hatred. And Mr. Armstrong thought that the seed or root of bitterness is one of the hardest things. It's worse than, I think he said, of heroin. How it affects the body. Once someone is allowed to have bitterness fester inside, then it grows into hate. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. So we need to be careful not to let things offend us as we go forward and as we grow in the mind of Christ, and grow in His grace and knowledge and understanding. That's one of the things that will help us to get through it all. Don't become easily offended, because if we do, it can cause us to go off track again. It could cause us ultimately to lose our eternal life. It's that dangerous, brethren. It really is. But many are going to be offended by this message today, and many are being offended by the message on this website, which is pointing God's people as a warning to wake up out of this Laodicean condition. Get back to that trunk of the tree, that foundation of truth. And this warning is going to go on out eventually to any who will heed it, and many will be offended by it, see? Just like they were offended at Christ, and offended by Mr. Armstrong. I'd like to just point out one verse over in Matthew 26. This is in the Old King James again. The Old King James in Matthew 26, verse 31, and it says, then Jesus said to them, all of you shall be offended of me this night. Isn't that interesting? All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So, that did happen. But they were offended not just that night, but all during his earthly ministry. That 3.5 years that he was preaching God's word faithfully, many were offended. And that night he said, all of you will be offended. Now, turn to Mark chapter 4. I did mention this in my last message briefly, but it's something else I want to point out in it. Mark chapter 4, verse 16, beginning of verse 16, it says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, see, that's God's word or the preaching, immediately receive it with gladness. See, at first some receive it with gladness. Same with this message today. In verse 17, and have not root in themselves. In other words, they're not rooted or grounded on that foundation. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction, see, some kind of trouble or persecution, see, arises, for the word's sake, in other words, for what you believe, that truth, immediately they are offended. Isn't that interesting? Or stumble. They are offended or stumble. Just wanted to point that out again, because I know I mentioned it last time, but Christ mentions it for a reason there in his parables, showing how there are different ways that people respond to God's truth, regardless of what age we're in or what phase of God's work. There are some that respond positively and are rooted and grounded and stay with it, and some receive it with joy. And then when something comes along, a little bump in the road or a little persecution or a little bit of affliction, then they're offended, see? And then there are others that are offended off the bat. They despise God's truth, and they're offended by the message right off the bat, because people generally are offended because they don't like correction, see? They hate correction. That's human nature, though, see? Notice John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 23. It says, Christ is speaking here. He says, "He that hateth," I'm in the Old King James still, "he that hateth me hateth my Father also." Verse 24, "If I have not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Verse 26, "But when the Comforter," which is the Holy Spirit, "is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth." Oh, interesting the way that's worded there, see? Spirit of what? Truth. "Which proceeds from the Father, it shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now let's notice, continuing, chapter 16, verse 1. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be offended." See? Now, Christ says he's spoken these things to us so that we should not be offended. He doesn't want us to be offended by anything. Let's look at Romans chapter 14, finally. This is going to be a short message today, probably around 30 minutes, I guess, a bit shorter than normal, but I just wanted to bring out these points, some points here, and things for us to think about, especially as we begin to meditate and think along the lines of preparing for the Passover, see? And if we've become offended by anything, then we need to get that out of our system. That applies to me, number one, first and foremost. And nor should we try to intentionally offend a brother, see, or sister in Christ. Although the truth now will offend people. You know, if you're defending the truth and speaking God's word faithfully and boldly, and it is going to offend. That's the way it's always been, though. Romans chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." So that's interesting. But the subject goes on here, talking about clean and unclean foods and whether and how to deal with situations like that. But I wanted to drop down for sake of time to verse 20. It says, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food." See, he's putting the emphasis back on the work of God. "All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense." In other words, the intention, I think of in the margin, here we see, it says a feeling of giving offense. So in other words, intentionally trying to offend someone, you know, rub it in their face type thing. So this shows that it's evil to have that type of attitude of intentionally offending someone. Verse 21, "It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." See? So we shouldn't do anything to a brother or sister in Christ if it's going to cause them to stumble. Now, granted, things do happen because we don't know necessarily the faith of another brother or sister necessarily, if they're weak or strong, unless we've known them for a long, long time personally. Verse 22 says, "Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves." Verse 23, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin." So that's something we need to always remember. And this is another, the context and the subject here was food, but the lesson applies to any other thing in our life, see? Don't destroy, verse 20, the work of God for the sake of food. Well, that, you can put anything in that place of that word food there. But it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Or you can say speaks. See, speaks with offense. You know, a spoken word. But in verse 23 there, something that's, we should always commit to memory, because if something is not of faith, then it's of sin. See, it's against God. So it's either a faith or it's not. So, but I'd like to conclude by just going back to basically where I began, because I forgot to mention something, so this might be the good time to go ahead and touch on that, because we see that happening today through God's faithful people, but it's happened all through the years. But in John chapter 6, again in verse 60, it said, and his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard or difficult saying. Who can understand it? And then Jesus said in verse 61, does this offend you? See, does this offend you? Let's just read on. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is a spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. See, our flesh profits nothing, brethren. Like I mentioned in the last message, concerning proper fear. Verse 63, against the spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. See, but yet those same words of life have offended many over the years. Notice verse 64, but there are some of you, see, who's he talking to? Disciples. There's some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, see, more than one, who did not believe and who would betray him. Well, there was one that betrayed him, which was Judas, but he mentions there, he knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, so he's talking about more than one person here. Verse 65, and he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Notice verse 66, from that time many, see, not one or two or a few, but many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. How sad. How very sad that is, brethren. And so today, that's what we see happening with many of God's people. They don't walk with God anymore. The true God, they don't. Because they become offended. And hopefully, you know, we can look back in our experiences and not cause it to have a root of bitterness in our mind and heart. Because that means we've been offended and we've let it fester and become bitterness. And once that bitterness grows, it becomes hate. And all those spirits are not of God, see? None of those are from God. So I hope this message has helped. I know it's a shorter one. Just wanted to bring up something for us to think about concerning offenses. And we should never try to intentionally offend each other. I hope none of us have or willfully do. I don't think we do. But there are those out there that do, and there are those out there that intentionally try to offend me or try to get a response out of me by some of the emails and some nasty things that people say, that they're not God's people. They don't have God's spirit, but they just hate anything that represents God's truth. They hate Mr. Armstrong, everything that he represents or represented, and they hate Jesus Christ, that wonderful truth of God. But I'm hopefully beginning to grow, and I just let it roll off. You know, I've got to go forward. I've got to go forward with this work in helping to warn God's people to whatever degree he wills it to be done or he chooses. I don't know how much he's got in store for me. I may die tomorrow, but I'm going to die holding fast, I hope. I certainly hope. And I hope I won't be deceived again like I have several times. And I hope I won't become offended. And I hope none of you do. So let's grow together and strive together to make it into God's kingdom. So that concludes this message for now. Until next time, do take care. I love you all.